Hey, this is Pastor John Ryan Cantu from Pneuma Church in Houston, Texas. Thank you for listening to the message today. I hope that it blesses you and all those that you share it with. God bless you.
Amen. And also give it up for our disciple makers and Pastor Damaris and everybody who's facilitating these groups. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Disciple making. That's what it's about. Amen. This morning, I don't want to delay the word any further. I have a very good friend and a brother who has been a blessing to me over the past several months. And we live in the same neighborhood. And we met last year at one of our men's conferences. And turns out we live in the same neighborhood, and so every now and then we grab breakfast by the Toasted Yolk right there, Toasted Yolk by our house, and he says it's a blessing to him, but it's probably way more of a blessing to me, brother. All of the wisdom that he shares and he just pours into me. And so the last time we met, two times ago, I said, man, we got to get you on a Sunday morning. And so I want to welcome my brother Otto Kelly. If y'all could stand with me as we receive him. Amen. This man of God, former NFL player, but now tackling demons. Amen.
Oh, praise God. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Before I begin the word, I was going to ask Pastor to stay up because, you know, I'm a individual that recognizes the importance of divine order. And, you know, Pastor is he's the father of this house. You know what I'm saying? I mean, and so I'm all about a father's blessing. So, I mean, Jesus wanted it. I mean, you know, he came up out of the water. God, the Father, told him three things. You're my son. I love you and I'm pleased with you. And he blessed him. And with armed with that identity, he went out to the desert and beat the snot out of the enemy. So, you know, I'm really down for divine order. Also, and you know, Jacob, the same thing, you know, spoke over his sons and prophesied over his sons. So there's divine order. You know, God, the Father, God, the Son submits to the Father, and the Holy Spirit submits to the Son. It's just divine order. So I'm asking Pastor to pray over me. I'm asking for a blessing. I'm asking for a Father's blessing. And so whatever the Father tells you to say, I just want prayer.
Would you extend hands? Heavenly Father, we thank you, my God, for this moment, Father God, that has been divinely appointed by you, Lord. My God, for this purpose, my God, and for this people, Lord. And my God, this is the man, Father God, that you have called to deliver this word, my God, that nobody else could give, my God, to this group of people here this morning, Lord. I pray that you instill upon his head, Father God, a fresh anointing, Father God, to speak whatever it is that you want him to speak, my God, that he wouldn't speak from his lips, Father God, but from yours, Father God. I pray that he would simply be a vessel today, Father God. Lord, I pray, Father God, that you would bring every word that is spoken, my God, into our hearts, our ears, our minds, Father God, to accept whatever it is that you have for us this morning, Father God. And I pray that you cover him, Lord. I pray that you give him a sensitivity to your spirit, my God, whatever you want to do, whatever you want to say. If he's got to go off script, off note, Father God, I pray in Jesus' name, Lord, that you would guide him and order his steps and his words this morning, Father God, for your people, my God. We trust you, Father, and we love you, and we thank you. Amen. Amen.
Oh, please go ahead and be seated, please, please, please. I'm going to do my best, like Pastor said, to stay on script, because most of my brothers, like in just the beginning, they know how I am. That's my people over there, man. You know, got Mark and Larry and shoot, Alvaro, the brothers, man. Came with me and worked with me with Sons to Men. I got David Pacheco back there. David, what up, man? Only you and Pastor Ryan got the only other perfect head in this piece. Y'all got some craniums. It's all right. All right, you know, takes one to know one. Only, not too many people can pull it off. You know what I'm saying? So, but I do believe, and I want to thank those brothers, man. First came here. Moved from Nevada, Vegas, Reno area. When I first got here, these brothers, man, we just was instant. was just instant brotherhood, you know. So, so please understand. You got to understand. I'm at the house. I'm at home. No, you got to feel me on that now. You probably a couple more minutes. You're gonna say, "Get that brother out of here." No, I'm just playing. But I think God wants to talk to you this morning. Let me just share just a brief testimony. I don't want to really get into a whole bunch of stuff, but when I was in middle school, my biological father, he developed cancer and died, and he just, you know, shrunk up real fast, and that's my superhero. And when I watched that, it just had an indelible mark on my life. My brothers came home and said, "Hey, Pops is gone, dude." Freaked me out. I go in the room, I scream, I'm yelling, because I've watched God do some dramatic things through my mother as she prayed. And, you know, you praying, mamas, don't stop. Don't you do whatever you do, don't stop. I am a miracle up in this piece right now telling you. Praying, moms, boy. Yeah, anyway. So my dad, he passed, and I'm in the room screaming and going crazy. and like I said before, God had done some powerful miracles, you know, through my mother, and I watched it. But then he didn't heal my dad. And that frustrated me. That made me mad. I said, okay, I'm trying to give you a quote as much as I can quote to you without, you know, getting kicked out. But I basically just I went off on God. I did. I just went off on him. I said, you know, you're supposed to be all powerful, almighty, all this, man. You could have healed my dad, but you didn't. And because you didn't heal my dad, I don't have a dad. And then something shifted. I don't know how to explain it, but something shifted in me. I said, okay, all right, it's like that. All right, cool. It's like that. Then you're my dad. You took mine away. I didn't ask to be here. I didn't ask for my dad to die. I mean, I'm you're my dad. Now, brothers and sisters, I had no clue what I was saying. You know, and ever since then, truly, that has been the case. So when I speak, I'm not really, I'm telling you, it is a true father-son delivery. He's the only father I've known. Okay, so I get real passionate about my father. I do, I really do. And I get real passionate when he blesses me with the ability to feel what he feels about his children. I get kind of, you know, so if I lose it up here, just bear with a brother. I got a reputation to keep. Don't snitch. Don't snitch. But I believe this morning, I'm going to try to stick to these notes because there's certain things that God is really wanting me to tell you. I entitled this message, Father Vision. Father vision, father vision, father vision. I mean, it's like television, it's like, you know, night vision, it's like WandaVision, it's vision. But I believe this morning, and just stay with me, let the Holy Spirit do what he wants to do, but I believe God, well, I'm going to do this. I'm asking Father to draw us and embrace us into his heart and into his mind so that we can see ourselves the way he sees us. I'm going to say it again. I'm going to ask Father to draw us by his glorious arms into his heart and into his mind so that we can look at ourselves the way the Father sees us. It's important. It's really important. It's extremely important. God doesn't want you, at least in this time, not to look at him from the outside in. He wants you to look at yourself from the inside out. Stay with me. It's important. Especially in the times in which we live, you got to know who you are. You got to know that you're his son. You got to know you're his daughter. You're not some worker, and you're not going to get a pink slip. Okay, so I'm believing that God wants to this morning to draw us into his goodness so that we can view ourselves the way he sees us. Important. And equally, I'm going to ask God, okay, I'm going to ask Father, and I'm going to pray this just in a few minutes. I'm going to ask Father to bless us with spiritual stamina to withstand the goodness that he wants to show us this morning. Spiritual stability. To be able to withstand the goodness that he wants to show you. He wants to show you about you. About you. Now, hear my heart. We're I'm all about praise. Trust me. I'm all about worship. I'm all about submitting myself afresh on a daily basis to the living God. But I'm just telling you this morning, the Father wants you to see you through his eyes. Because when you see the Father, when you see yourself through the Father's eyes, you can't help but to see others through his eyes. Can't help it. I'm gonna do my best. So you got to recognize, when I say that you can see yourself through the Father's eyes, you got to recognize that you really can. You really can. Give me that scripture real quick. I'm gonna read that 1 Corinthians 2:10. Can we get that real quick? I'll read it if you don't have it. Oh, yes, cool. Now, you know, this is Paul, and Paul just is Paul. These are things God has revealed to us by his Spirit. The Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God, okay? For who knows a person's thoughts except their own spirit within them? In the same way, everybody say in the same way. In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. Now, do you have the Spirit of God in you? Help me. Do you have the Spirit of God in you? Which means you know the thoughts and the mind of God. Okay? What we have received is not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, so that we may understand, in other words, comprehend what God has freely given us. Right? Let's go. This is what we speak. Not words taught by human wisdom, but words taught by the Spirit, explaining spiritual realities and with Spirit-taught words. Okay, check it out. Keep going. The person without the Spirit cannot accept the things that come from the Spirit, but considers them foolish and cannot understand them because they are discerned only by the Spirit. Let's go. The person with the Spirit makes judgment of all things, but such person is not subject to merely human judgments. Now I went to this last little spot. Who has known the mind of the Lord so as to instruct him? But everybody read this together. 1, 2, 3. We have the mind of Christ. We have the mind of Christ. It's not a question of like trying to get it. You already have it. So it's important for us to submit ourselves afresh this moment, this time, to the Spirit of God so that we can see how Father sees and think how Father thinks. Imperative. Imperative. Imperative, because you and I have the ability to think things about ourselves that are not accurate, and then we're going to wind up trying to have God endorse it. He won't endorse it. He can't endorse it. I'm going to show you that in Scripture. He cannot endorse anything negative about you. You've been cleansed and purified by the Holy Lamb of God, so that means you are spotless and blameless and free from accusation, according to Scripture. Okay, but I want you to hear this. Lord, help me with this. I'm trying to be cool on this. You know, you got to understand that nobody in this room asked to be born. Nobody. Now, as you can tell, I get passionate. I get real passionate, so just bear with it, brother. But Pastor knew this, so he can clean it up after I leave. Nobody in this room asked to be here. You did not ask for your mama, your daddy. You didn't ask for your race. You didn't ask for the times in which you have been born. Somebody more powerful than you wanted you here. Somebody more powerful, more majestic, more glorious, all-knowing, all-beautiful, altogether lovely wanted you here. Now, we're gonna jump on it spiritually, but we got to look at it biologically. I can't help it. My boys know, so don't you give it up. They know what's up. But I have to. I did my own research. Now, I want you to, it was a mathematician, and I don't know. They must have loved the Lord. A mathematician and an anthropologist, and they wanted to look at the odds in which everybody in this room were born. Okay, the odds. Okay, so I'm going to read this. Okay, because I couldn't memorize it. Not yet, but I'm going to memorize this bad boy. So in order for you to be here, you had to have 2 parents, 4 grandparents, 8 great-grandparents, 16 great-great-grandparents, 32 great-great-great-grandparents. You had to have 64 great-great-great-grandparents. And then you'd have to have 128 great, 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 great grandparents. Now, each one of those of your ancestors, stay with me. Each one, I'm going to have to read it because sometimes that just breaks me down. Each one of your ancestors had to survive, every single one of them, had to survive disease, famine, conflict, wars, slavery, genocide, abortion, miscarriages, and natural disasters. They had to reach reproductive age, find a partner, and reproduce. And this is where we get real. They had to have the correct combination of sperm cells and egg, a correct chemical, biological, genetic sequence to continue the chain leading directly to you. To you! So this mess of the enemy trying to tell you that you're not valuable. Directly to you. So okay, the mathematician just went berserk on it. He said, okay, so you are 1 in 400 quadrillion. Okay, let's break that down. 1 quadrillion is 1 billion million. I'm going to say it again. You are 1 in 400 quadrillion. 1 quadrillion is 1 billion millions. So in 400 quadrillion is 400 billion millions. Okay, yeah, trip me out too. That's I responded the same way. I didn't know what to say. So you are a living, breathing phenom. Now you think I'm playing. You are a living, breathing phenom. Do you realize that there had to be 400 million sperm cells in each one of your ancestors? And there had to be at the very least 400 million, and at the very most 1.6 billion. So every single one of your ancestors had to have that number. And then that one that made it through the egg, and it had to have the right genetic sequence in order to. You. So please understand that you're just not some piece of protoplasm. That you're not some kind of just something that just showed up. With thought and intention, your father wanted you. I know, I'm telling you, I know this world. I know how it is. It's going to try to devalue you. Y'all think I'm playing. I'm telling you, man. Okay, let's go scripturally. Okay, let's go to Ephesians chapter 1, 3 through. Listen, this, okay, God, okay, Dad, I'm telling you. This is for you. No, listen, this is for you. No, this is for you. This is for you. Specifically, uniquely, you. Ephesians chapter 1, 3 through 7, and I don't have time to really get into the the context, but it was just some broken people, jacked up people. I mean, just people, just jacked up. And Paul knew what he had to do, but the Holy Spirit really wanted to emphasize to these people that are broken, who had no clue of what parents was, or had no clue of the love. They just, Pastor will break it down to you. I just don't have time. Ephesians chapter 1, 3 through 7. He says, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. I'm going to go back. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. He chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. Then the motivation, in love, he predestined you to be adopted as his son or daughter. In love, the motivation behind creating you was not just to have kids. He was motivated by love because he wanted you. In love, he predestined you to be adopted as his son and daughter in through Jesus Christ according to his pleasure and will. So listen to me. You may not be perfect, but you're perfect for God. You may have your issues, your stuff, your mess. I get it. I understand that. But when the smoke clears, you're perfect for him, or he would not have created you. can do anything he wants to do. Say what he wants to say. God is God. Man, he just tossed the freaking stars in the universe and numbered them each, but just choose to toss stars in the sky and going to turn around and say, I uniquely handcraft. He can number the stars and know and name them each by name, but specifically know you. You. Yeah, you. And like I asked you before, I pray to the Father, Father, please bless your sons and daughters with spiritual stamina to withstand the goodness that you want to show them about them. Uniquely handcrafted by God himself. We're going to keep going. Let me keep going, Pastor. I'm getting happy. Go to Genesis chapter 1. I want you to see something. Genesis chapter 1, we're going to start at verse 20. Okay, can we go hit there real quick? I won't stay there too long, but I want to show y'all something. Okay, and y'all know the creation thing, and so I'm going to start at verse 20. And God said, let the water teem with living creatures, and let birds fly above the earth across the vault of the sky. Let's go. So God created the great creatures of the sea and every living thing which the water teems that and that moves about it, according to in their kind, and every winged bird according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. Let's just go to verse 26. We can just go to verse 26. Beautiful. Okay, so you get it. I'm sure you've read Genesis before. Y'all read Genesis a little bit, right? So Genesis, God created an atmosphere. Then he created what he wanted to live and be in that atmosphere, right? So if he created the ocean, then he created the fish, right? If he wanted, he created the land, and then he created the creatures, okay? He created out there. But can we see what God and environment he created you from? Let's go to 26. So then God said, let us make man in our likeness, in our mankind, our likeness, that they may rule over the fish of the sea, the birds of the sky, over the livestock, over all animals, over all the creatures that move along the ground. Okay, let's roll. So God created mankind, woman in his own image. He created them, male and female. He created them and God blessed them. But you get it. You get it. Everything else, listen to me. Everything else God created out there. But when he created you from himself. The atmosphere of his own holiness, he created you. The atmosphere of his own glory, he created you. They said, hey, man, let us make our kids in our own image, in our own likeness. Listen to me. You are triune, just like your daddy. Spirit, soul, body, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Even when you have a new body, you're still going to be triune. Okay. I'm just goofy like this, so the brothers know, so back me up if I'm getting too out there. Right, so if God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit reached out and took a selfie, what do you think the image would look like? I'll wait. If God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit said, hey, let's take a selfie, boom. What does that look like? Are you not made in the So you are the very image. If the Father, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit took a selfie, you'd be the image. See what I'm saying? We don't know who we are. We don't recognize it. God himself said from within his own ispis, his own glory, I'm making you. You got to understand something, y'all. You got to understand something. You are so remarkably valuable to the living God that he created everything, but you're the only thing in all of time and eternity that he paid for. Do you know who you are? Do you really catching who the freak you really truly are? Created you from his own self and then gonna pay for you with his own self. Well, no, I'm telling you, man, see, the degree that this sounds foreign to you is the degree that sometimes you and I have been deceived. He has not stopped thinking about you since he created you. Y'all think I'm playing? Okay, oh yeah, I know y'all think. I'm telling you. Psalm 139, if you mind going there. Psalm 139, now, most of the brothers know David. King, y'all sister know. David, King David. David was a trip. David was a trip. David was a trip. I mean, David was the type of brother. I mean, really, David. Can I go there, Pastor? Can I go? Okay, I'll be good. I'll be good. David was the type of brother. Okay. Let me put it to you this way. David was the first original gangster rapper. David would slice up some folks, chop heads off, and go into the studio and start writing songs about it. Read songs. Original. That's the original OG of gangster rap. That David. And I believe that in Psalm 139, David was going through some issues. He was going through some issues, and I believe God, and you can do your own research, but I believe David was having some issues regarding his self-image, all this stuff, and he's almost like he said, Father, I know I did that census. I know with Bathsheba, I know all that stuff, but Lord, I need to see how you see me. I need to view myself from your perspective, because right now, I know you let me hook up with beat those lions and bears, but right now, God, I ain't feeling it. I need for you to show me who I am. And that's what, you know, like I said, do your research. That's what Psalm 139 is, man. David was tripping. He said, oh Lord, you search me and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, Father, you know it completely. You hem me in behind and before. You laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you're there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. If I say, surely the darkness will hide me and the light become night around me, even the darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like the day, for darkness is as light to you. But Father, I'm reminded that you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mama's womb. God, I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Oh, Father, your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in a secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed body. Oh, God, all the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. How precious to me, how precious toward me, how precious to me are your thoughts, oh God. If I had to count them, they would outnumber the grains of sand. You got to hear what David is saying. Despite all my mess, you search me. You know me. You know when I sit and when I... You perceive my thought. You discern my going out and my lying. You are familiar with all my ways. God, Father, before I'm even to come up with a thought that's going to project a word, you knew it before I had the thought in my head. You're my Father. You know me. They ain't going to break down in verse 14 and say, God, man, I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. You have a theologian for a pastor. You do, man. The brother knows the word. Let's just be real. Okay? I love hanging out with brothers who love the word and know the word. Right? And I've asked pastors around the globe, I've asked them, please do me a favor, search this out for me, tell me if I'm wrong, please tell me if I'm wrong. But Psalm 139, I think verse 14 of the 115, one of them, it says this. He said, I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. You got to hear, he said, I'm praising you because I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Listen, I have studied scripture and I've not found another place where God has given you, his son and daughter, permission to praise him because he made you. David said, I praise you, Father, because I am fearful. I praise you because I am fearfully. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. David wasn't praising God because, okay, the wonderful heavens and the stars, Lord God, it's great. The great microscopic universe, all of a sudden. No, I'm praising you because you made me. We got to get to that understanding that God is saying, you are so precious, so powerful, my masterpiece, my glory, my goodness. I want you to praise me because I made you. You got to understand that's who you really are now. That's who you really are. That's why you have an enemy of your soul trying to break his neck for you not to know your true identity. Y'all realize you smell like your daddy? Read it for yourself. 2 Corinthians 2:14. We are to God the pleasing aroma of Christ, spreading everywhere the knowledge and fragrance of him. You smell like your pops. No, really, seriously. You smell like your daddy everywhere you go. And then he going to turn around and say, he always leads us in triumphal procession in Christ. So everywhere you go is victorious, whether you see it or not. If we could just allow the Spirit of God to illuminate this stuff to us and don't argue about it. I'm telling you, man. I'm telling you, we can argue with God regarding our value. No, we can. We really can. Because we somehow think that what he has to say about his goodness regarding us is for everybody but us. Okay. Silence say a whole bunch, y'all. I'm just saying, when we're quiet, silence say a whole bunch. See, God, and listen to me, God is drawing you into the truth. If we can just catch this truth. See, listen. People can debate all they want. I leave that to doctors like Pastor Ryan. The Arminianism or predestination or Calvinism. I don't care. All I know is no one can tell me that I'm not my father's son. Nobody. Listen, there's not an inkling of fear that I have going before the throne of God on Judgment Day. None. Not one. See, if you are fellowshipping with the living God, if you fellowship with your dad, you know what's going to happen on that judgment day? Only thing that's going to happen is you and him get to continue the conversation. That's it. And he's going to give you some stuff. I mean, being with him is evident, but he's going to give you some stuff. But the whole idea is that you got to recognize he ain't mad at you. Oh, Pastor, is it too much? Talk to me. Because you're feeling it, see? See? I love it when Dad talks. Because I get to shut up. I get to be quiet. As the Father ruminates his goodness in your heart. See? See, yeah. Yeah, you. Yeah, you. You! Uh-huh. All his thoughts toward you are precious. Were you to try to count them, the Bible says they'll outnumber the grains of sand. That's a trip. So in other words, there's nothing bad that God ever thinks about you. Nothing. Well, okay, let's just put it to you this way. It's impossible. You're purified, cleansed, washed, acceptable, pleasing before the living God. Now listen, got to understand that God, man, God, you good, Father. You got to understand that God... As we mentioned in the very beginning, God, Father, he wanted you here. Here. See, the gift that God has put in you is too good for him to keep to himself. So you see, there's a unique way in which he created you in such a way to where he knew before eons of times that he knew that there was going to be somebody on this planet that would not be able to hear his voice through anybody else but you, which is why he created you. You ain't feeling me. Uniquely handcrafted for the purpose of being a unique radiance of God's glory in these crazy, insane times. Quit getting frustrated at your job because a dude ticks you off or whatever. No, he's giving you the, he put that person on the radar so that you can pray. I know they get on your nerves. Get on your nerve for a reason. God, God put them on your radar so that you can go before him. And if out of the day, Lord, you know, if something, I may want to body slam them, do some, God, pray. I'm praying for them, Lord. Help them. See, please understand that God did this for a reason, so that you have influence with him. Stay with me. Stay with me. Don't drift off and wonder what you're having for lunch. Just stay with me. Only got a few more minutes. Uniquely made you because he knew before time began that there's going to be somebody that would hear his glorious voice through a vessel just like you. And we find a way to sell ourselves short, don't we? We find a way. Find a way. Please understand, I got to say this. I ain't going to be too much longer, really. I think God has really said what he wanted to say. You got to understand that when Jesus was on that cross, when he's on that cross, he became the nucleus of all that's unholy. Not just the symptoms. See, we you know, not just the symptoms, but the reason behind everything that we struggle with. Not just the symptoms. Not just okay. I'm not talking about hate. I'm talking the nucleus behind hate. I'm not just talking about lust. I'm taking the reason and the original reason behind lust. Pride. He became the nucleus. He became the virus in the virus within the virus that caused sin on the cross. And somehow we think that he's too holy to hear what we got to say. Or we feel that somehow we put ourselves in this, we blow it, we put ourselves in a mental prison and close the gate until we feel like somehow we've earned enough time to now I can go talk to him. Our Father wants us to recognize Jesus. Listen, he wants us to recognize that more than you think you know about that sin, he became the nucleus of it, and so he knows it eternally and not just temporarily like we do. Which is why he said, come to me. Quit tripping and just come to me. I am your Father. I cannot unlove you. Somebody out there need to hear that. Because many of us become, we get on performance mode and don't recognize that our relationship with God has to do with position and not performance. Okay, y'all think I'm playing. Go to 2 Corinthians. If you don't mind, real quickly, 2 Corinthians 2. Yeah, I think I'm playing, man. I think I'm supposed to close with scripture. I'll wait because it's important. It's really important. Second Ephesians chapter 2. When we go there, are we good? I want you guys to see it. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4. Anybody there yet? Somebody read it out loud real quick. Come on, man. Give me that bass voice. Give me that bass. Stand up, baby. Come on. I need that bass. Hit it.
All right. But God is so rich in mercy that he loved us so much.
Keep going.
That even though we were dead because of our sins, he gave us life when he raised Christ from the dead. It is only by God's grace that you have been saved.
Uh-huh. Keep going.
For he has raised us from the dead along with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realm.
Mm-hmm.
So God can point to us in all future ages as examples of the incredible wealth of his grace and kindness towards us, as shown in all he has done for us who are united with Christ Jesus.
Perfect. Keep going. One more.
God saved you by his grace when you believe.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't take credit for this.
Mm-hmm.
It is a gift from God.
Mm-hmm.
Salvation is not a reward for the good things you have done, so none of us can boast about it.
Mm-hmm.
For we are God's masterpiece. He has created us Christ Jesus.
Wait. Go, stop that right there and go create us anew. And what?
He has created us anew.
Keep going. Say that again.
Created us anew. In Christ Jesus.
Where?
Christ Jesus.
Where?
Christ Jesus.
In who?
Christ Jesus.
In?
Christ Jesus.
In?
Christ Jesus.
So you've been not only created within the God himself, but you've been created in Jesus Christ to do good things that God prepared in advance for you to do. Thank you, brother. Oh, yeah. We gotta go to that next level, y'all. See, Pastor, can you come up? Because we're going to pray. But I think in closing, I'm supposed to say this. In Acts chapter 17, Paul was making some goofy, making these philosophers in Greece look stupid. And they had this, these idols and stuff. And Paul said, hey, man, I seen this, these idols. And you got this one idol talking about the unknown God. Hey, let me break this down to you. And he breaks it down to him. He said, out of this one man, God made the inhabitants of the earth. And God decided the times and place in which they would live. See, I know that you and I think that we kind of showed up in Houston. But God has uniquely handcrafted you for the times in which you live and the place in which you live. He wanted you here. You didn't ask to be born. You didn't ask where you live. You didn't ask your mom for your mom and dad. You didn't ask for none of it. Which means that your life has nothing to do with you. I know the world tried to tell you it does. It ain't got nothing to do with you. It has everything to do with him. He wanted you. And he wanted you to be an instrument of his glory in these crazy, evil, insane times. Let me tell you something, man. Jesus said, in times like this, it's going to get so crazy. It's going to get so crazy. It's never going to be like this again, but it's going to get so crazy. There's something powerful about thinking about the fact that you're here. I mean, really, think about it. This is the worst times. I mean, according to, you know, but he has you here. Which means that, you know, the ones, reputed ones in the Bible that we consider to be powerful, the Moses and the Deborahs and the, you know, the Sarahs and the Abrahams and, you know, all the reputed ones that we say are powerful in faith. If they could do a better job of what God's called you to do in these crazy times, they'd be here instead of you. See, yeah. Uniquely handcrafted by the living God for the sole purpose of being an instrument of his glory. You are his son. See, I think, and I'm going to give this to Pastor. I think, no, I believe that people are really wanting to see. God is going to so uniquely bless you with his smell and with his glory that people who are looking for him are actually going to be able to find him. No, I'm not talking about all these counterfeits. I'm not talking about. I'm talking about the real deal. God has made you to be God has made you so profoundly glorious that he wants others around you to not have a question whether or not they're in the presence of God. That's why he wants you to know you're his son. That's why he wants you to know you're his daughter. All Jesus did was say, listen, I submit to the Father. I just go where he tells me to go, do what he tells me to do, say what he wants me to say. And as a result of that, we got to see the heart of the Father through the Son. Why do you think you're here? To do the same thing. To be an instrument of God's goodness so that he can shine his glory through you. And people go, I'm telling you, man, it's going to get so ugly. It already has. But God wants you to know who you are so that you can walk in your sonship and your daughterhood so that you can be that vessel where people can see the real God and not these crazy freaking counterfeits. The real. That's why you're here. That's why you're here. To be an extension of God's goodness. You're his son and daughter. You're his son and daughter. In Jesus' name.
Would you stand with me? Have him stand. Prayer team, can you come up? Man, Brother Otto, as you were speaking, bro, man, God was just breaking my heart. Because there's people in the room who know God, but they don't know who they are in God. God, you don't know how to be. This is why you doubt yourself. This is why you walk in insecurity. This is why you lack the confidence in what to say. This is why you still smell a little bit more like the world. You dress like the world. You speak like the world. You act like the world. Because even though you know God and you come to church to praise God, you don't know who you are in God. I think this word was so timely because if we could just know who we are, I get it. It's all about Jesus. Everything we preach behind the pulpit is about Jesus. It's got to be about Jesus. But we also have to know that Jesus made it about his sons and his daughters. That he came down to this earth that was full of his sons and daughters to die for his sons and his daughters. And so when we take away our own value that Jesus has poured his blood into, we degrade the body of Christ. I've been there, Otto. I've been there where I loved the Lord. I glorified God, but I didn't really know who I was in God. And I believe that God wants to call somebody this morning. Wants to draw you into his presence so that you don't know who, not just who he is, but you know who you are. God is saying it's okay to be you. I created you to be you. Stop looking around at the people that you're not. Stop looking at how they do it better. They speak better. They're a little bit more gifted in this area. I created you to be you. Be confident in who you are. Because my breath is in you. And if you need that this morning, if you need that encounter, I want you to come forward. And I want our prayer team to pray with you. I'm praying against identity crisis amongst the body of Christ. That sons and daughters would know who they are. And we would walk in the confidence as sons and daughters of the King. Come on. Come on, if you just need an encounter with God, if you need prayer this morning, these altars are open as a worship team.
Thanks for listening. If you'd like some more information on Pneuma Church, visit us on our website at mynumachurch.org. If you enjoyed the podcast, you can subscribe or share it with your friends on social media and tag us at mynumachurch. Thanks again, and God bless.